Hey, coming up next, in all seriousness, got a great interview, and I'm looking forward to speaking with a local attorney, Nashville attorney, and we're going to talk about all these guys in colleges who are being drummed out of college after their accusations of sexual inappropriateness. And so she's got several of these kinds of cases, and so we're going to find out all of the details on why this keeps happening and how these guys are... their lives are basically getting ruined because of these accusations that are unsubstantiated. So I've got that coming up right here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. It is Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show. Now, last week and in the last several years, I've been sharing with you a lot of these kinds of stories. And specifically last week, I shared with you a story coming out of Indiana University. And it was the case of Aaron Ferrer. And he was an Indiana University student accused of rape. And even though the charges were cleared in a court of law, his academic career is essentially over. And he says that the accusations against him were taken as truth at the school, and he never really received an opportunity to defend himself. And I want to welcome in Michelle Owens, a Nashville attorney who has been working and studying this issue. And Michelle, I know that every case is different, but you have several cases like this. And the basic complaint here from these guys is that they are assumed guilty, even in the face of evidence that exonerates them. They are still deemed guilty by the universities. They're drummed out of school. Their academic careers are over. And we see this over and over again, right?
That's right, Dan. And thanks for having me on today. This is kind of a passion of mine. I kind of came in it backwards because basically there were no attorneys helping these boys, and I would say students, but it's really only boys who are getting accused of this. But what you just mentioned is a little bit misleading, not from you, but basically most of the cases I get, there's never even a police report. So there's not even a chance for them to be exonerated, not that it would matter, as you said, because the schools have their own way of processing this. But most of these cases, and everyone that I've had so far, has not been reported to the police. And that's one of my biggest issues with this, is that we have boys, young men, being accused of what is a felony, but the universities are handling this. And the people in the universities who are handling it are not the higher-ups. They're the residence hall managers and the residence hall advisors who interview people and take witnesses and basically make a determination of whether or not there was rape or sexual assault. And it's completely without due process. I'm a lawyer, so I'll just keep talking until you interrupt me. But
I'll stop you there then. But great stuff. Now, several of these guys in the stories that I've talked about, they say that their rights under Title IX have been violated in that they're not provided due process, because they are guys, and the women need to always be believed regardless of what really happened, almost like political correctness. So talk about that. Yeah. Talk about how these universities, is this a knee-jerk reaction to some of the true problems that have happened on college campuses, but now because we've had some instances of sexual assault, now if you're a guy, you are automatically guilty just upon the accusation.
Yeah, and what it comes down from is there's a division of the Department of Education called the Office of Civil Rights, and most people have never heard of that until they get into this situation. But it's called the OCR. The OCR makes these determinations about which schools get federal funding, and that's where Title IX came in. And everybody knows Title IX, and it has to do with sports and girls get equal scholarship opportunities. Well, it has been twisted to mean that anything that is unfair to women is a problem under Title IX. And so what has happened is that these universities are so afraid of losing federal funding that they go above and beyond to make sure that anything that has to do with Title IX is found basically in favor of the girl, because that's what has to happen. They're so afraid of losing Title IX. The problem, and you know, I have to say to start with, I've had several of these cases right now, and I've had several of them, and I would not represent a boy or a young man that I felt actually raped or sexually assaulted a girl, but I have not had one where it wasn't either consensual sex or a completely made up story. And one of the big problems with this is that these girls report these instances 2 to 3 months after it happens. Something triggers the event, and usually, you know, I feel like I'm a woman, and I have a girl, and I have twins, a boy and a girl. So I feel like I kind of come at this from an equal perspective. But these girls get angry about something, and usually it's the guy starts dating someone else. You know, she's embarrassed because she had sex with him, and, you know, then he dumped her. And so she makes a Title IX report. Now, you know, what would most women do? And I've talked to women, and I have friends from college who were sexually assaulted. I've talked to them. What would you do if you were sexually assaulted or raped? You go to the police. You want the guy in jail. You don't want him kicked out of school. That's like an afterthought. You don't go to your university to take care of it. So in my opinion, and I think I'm right, these are not sexual assault cases. They are women scorned. And it's unfair to the boys because it does cause lifelong damage for not only their reputation, but if they get kicked out of school for a sexual assault, which is on their transcript, they can't get into another school very easily, if at all. And I have a kid right now who is in an ROTC program somewhere in the country that I won't name. But, you know, he has the possibility of being court-martialed because he's losing his ROTC scholarship. And along with that, you know, you're in this quasi area where you're not really enlisted, but you sort of are. So he could be called to war, basically, because of this. He's going to lose his scholarship and might have to enlist in order to pay off the debt that he owes the armed forces. And that's the kind of ramifications that people don't understand that's coming from this. And that's why these need to be handled in court, where people understand the law.
Well, and here's the other thing is not only from an academic standpoint, but also from a career standpoint. So in other words, when these young men, if they go out into the workforce and they're trying to find a job, if you just Google the guy's name, more often than not, there might be a headline or two that's out there. And so that's going to be in the public realm as well. So if you Google somebody's name, there's all these horrible things that have been said about them. And so I'm assuming that the state of mind of not only the parents, but also these students that you are, or former students that you're dealing with, I can imagine they just have to be at the end of their rope.
Yeah, it's very, very stressful. And there are a lot of support groups. There's a website called FACE, and the founder of FACE, her, as I understand it, I think her son was a student at Auburn, and this happened to him, and so she started a support group for parents and students, and it's very needed. You know, and my background is also as a social worker, and it's one thing I just don't have time to do right now, but it is a very, very stressful time. And you have to remember, these boys are usually about 19, and at 19, you don't know that the world's going to go on, even though something really bad happens and you get kicked out of school, and so you have a real suicide risk going on. And it doesn't end. You know, it just doesn't go away. And like you said, it is out there for people to find. But the one thing to remember, though, it's not like they've been put on any kind of sexual assault registry or anything, because the police aren't involved. There's not really any kind of criminal accusation. It's just in this quasi-administrative realm that's, you know, almost like a rumor mill.
Right.
It hurts you, but you don't really go to jail or anything from it.
This seems like such an obvious thing, Michelle, that somebody accused of something as wretched as sexual assault or rape should be given the benefit of due process at the schools. Is anybody working on this? You said it's an issue of the universities don't want to lose federal funding. So is there something that somebody can do or something to fix this on the federal level so that the schools don't treat these 18, 19, 20-year-old guys like they're rapists when maybe something didn't happen?
Well, I think one thing that needs to happen is the legislature and the courts need to get more involved, and they are starting to do that. There's a case right now against Brown University that I'm following. It's kind of midway through, and there have been some good rulings on that, and it's Doe versus Brown University because of all the federal regulations, they keep the names private. But somebody needs to sue the OCR, the Office of Civil Rights. The problem is, who has standing to sue? And that's a big legal argument. But really, it sounds like the only group that has the right to sue the OCR are the universities. And they're not going to do it, because who's going to sue the hand that feeds you? You know, you don't want to do that. So it's just it really is an ongoing problem. And I, you know, I know how to fix the individual things. I don't know how to fix the big picture. And if somebody out there does, I wish that they would jump all over it.
You know,
because it needs to be stopped.
It really does. And these are some really tragic stories. And in another market, I interviewed a guy from San Diego, and he had been through just a horrible, horrible case. And his life, this was 3-4 years before I interviewed him, and his life, he still had not recovered. And I guess part of the, you talked about how do we stop this from happening. One of the things that I have harped on over and over again is that oftentimes alcohol is involved in some way, shape, or form. So I think that typically there's a couple of things that are common here. One is, you're right, it's a woman scorned. But the other thing is that there's a situation where there's alcohol involved. And so the both of them are blitzed out of their minds, and then they end up having relations, and then something happens, and then she wakes up and, oh my God, what have I done, or whatever happens. Is part of the problem here the fact that binge drinking on campuses is a big problem?
Well, I think that is a very big problem. Also, there's, you know, I'm older, so, you know, in my opinion, there's a loosening of morality as well. And I think the colleges are trying to combat that in kind of a backwards way. If there, and it's not really that you have to be blitzed out of your mind. If the university policies say if there is any alcohol, a drop of alcohol eliminates your ability to consent. So therefore, anytime there is any kind of sex with any drinking, it's rape. That's what the university is saying. That is not what the legal standard is. And also, one thing the OCR did, they changed the standard from beyond reasonable doubt to a preponderance of the evidence standard. That means that if you think it's 51% likely that this boy did what this girl is accusing him of, then they're found guilty, as opposed to the, you know, beyond reasonable doubt that you have in a criminal court.
You've been dealing with these kinds of guys and parents and so forth for a long time. So I guess my question would be this. Short of telling your son, and I'm asking this for all the parents out there, short of telling your son, you have got to live like a monk when you're in college, what can you tell, or what advice can you give based on your experience? What advice can you give college freshmen right now as far as this kind of thing goes?
I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm going to start doing some talks to fraternities because it's happening so much. In fact, at Auburn, I think they get 30 of these cases across the Title IX desk a week. There are not 30 rapes at Auburn every week. It's ridiculous. So this is what I would say. First of all, don't drink. If you're going to kiss a girl, by the way, any touching of a sexual nature is rape. So kissing, touching a breast, anything like that is still rape, according to the college. So if you're going to be intimate with a girl in any way, there can be no alcohol involved on her part, none at all. And if you're going to do it and there is alcohol, then really what you need to do is make sure you're around a lot of your friends who see her going with you willingly and see her coming out of the room or walking away from you happy, smiling, no problems. You need to have witnesses, because that's the only way I ever win these cases is I have witnesses of friends, and not even friends, but acquaintances who are around and will say, well, I don't know what she's telling you, but, you know, she left and then later she got in the car with him again and she was happy. You know, just people to kind of corroborate that she did consent, that there was no force, that there was nothing that she did that she didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Just any kind of witness. I mean, that's what I would say. I mean, there's not a lot you can do except to tell them, if a girl's been drinking, walk away. That's really
it's tough because you're talking about, you know, guys and girls. They're in college, and you know, we all know what happens when you're in college. But it seems like this is something that is just, I don't know if it's a political correctness thing, but it seems to have exploded here in the last several years. And I'm assuming that's because there have been one or two high profile cases, but then you have all these folks who are activists that say that women always must be believed. And I do understand that, but it's got to come with a little bit of sanity as well, where you're not just blindly and irrationally accusing a guy and kicking him out of school and ruining his life when he may not have done anything. And so I guess what I've seen over the past couple of years is just this wave of political correctness that is just demoralizing guys, and it's causing their lives to be ruined.
Oh, I mean, it really is. And, you know, I think with these girls, the girls who are doing this for the wrong reasons, and it really wasn't rape, buyer's remorse, whatever you want to call it, they're insulting every single woman out there who has been sexually assaulted. It's making a mockery of the women that it really happens to. And I think that's what makes me the most angry, because I know people who this has happened to. And it's not fair, because you're making it just a joke. When it happens, you know, every other day, it takes away the significance of it. And I have to tell you about one case, though, that has really, it's stuck in my craw, because I have a case, and I won't tell you the university. The student told me I could tell about it if I didn't give any details. Okay. But this guy was found not responsible, which is their way of saying not guilty, for sexual assault. And he was still kicked out of school, because the Title IX coordinator said that he made the process difficult. What? Because he had a lawyer, maybe? I don't know, because he questioned the things that were said against him. But that's how biased these processes are, that you know, he's still not responsible, and he's still kicked out of school.
Yeah, well, Michelle, it's just like all these cases that I've been telling the folks that listen to me often enough about how they're exonerated in a court of law. There's unsubstantiated accusations, yet these guys are still kicked out of school. It drives me nuts. So how can people get more information on you?
Well, they can go to my Facebook page. A.G. Owens Law is my Facebook page. And we will be having a seminar pretty quickly. I was going to try to have it set up before today, but I just kind of didn't get to it. But just something for families, for students, basically parents and their sons, but and their daughters as well, because what I've been telling my daughter and her friends is, you don't cry rape unless it's real. You know, you don't say it, because it's real. And, you know, that's the thing. I don't think these girls realize the damage that's being caused to these boys. And if they did, I think a lot of them would rethink what they're doing.
Well, and I think that has a lot to do with parenting as well. Well, listen, when you get your seminar ready, let me know. Call me back, and we'll talk about your seminar here on the radio.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, you have a great afternoon. It's 12:54 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show.